Well, tonight as we get into this, all I can say is, Lord, just like Abraham, he sought that continuing city whose builder and maker is God. That's what he saw. That's what his life was about. And I pray tonight that truly we see ourselves where the Lord has what he has given in the anointing, praise God, of enlightened eyes of understanding. That it's not something just to see afar off. It's to get in there and to lay hold of it. And thanking God that I'm understanding that more and more all the time. As Brother Hill used to say, it was almost as good as being there. I want that every day. Almost as good as being there. But that's a day, praise God, in all his perfect and complete will. So let's open our Bibles. Revelation chapter 19. And we'll get into it right away and we'll read verse 1. That's Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So it says after these things, after the things of chapter 18. That was what we addressed the last few weeks. That's after the judgment, praise be to God, of that great whore, the great harlot known as Babylon. That satanic mystery that has been working ever since the devil was cast out of heaven. As Paul wrote, written there in the New Testament, it was that mystery that had been working even then. We thank God that we know that the enemy is the prince and the power of this air right now. I thank the Lord that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. I'm thankful to God that I know that the Lord has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. I thank God that I know that he's got that old devil on a chain. And specifically, he's got him on a chain for me. And we need to know that. And any affliction I will ever face, it's in his faithfulness he hath afflicted me. And I thank God that I can believe in his grace and in his mercy. Praise the Lord. So, after this great whore, this Babylon has been completely, utterly destroyed. And so destroyed, I love how it said, there's no memory of her. It's over. And I thank God for that. The voice of much people in heaven, as we see here, and we know that this is no doubt the innumerable multitude. And notice what they say here. They say, Alleluia, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. And we know that that's exactly what the innumerable multitude said back in chapter 7. They said, salvation to our God. And I'm so thankful that any life can say salvation to our God. But I'm so thankful to know there is much more, and the much the more if we'll go in and go on with the Lord. If you remember back in chapter 4, the four living ones, again, which represents the bridal company, those that are seen there at the first trump, right at the moment of the first trump, that first company, if you will, that is seen in heaven, that is raptured. Hallelujah. We're thankful to God that he has called us to this. But those four living ones that, again, are the worshipers, the ones that truly are reigning and ruling with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that are in the very midst of the throne of his glory, those ones, they not only say, but it says back there, and we'll turn there for a moment, they give glory and honor to him. See, there's a difference there. I'm so thankful that ones could say glory and honor to him. But this is different. If you go back to Revelation, and let's go over here to chapter 4. And let's see, my eyes aren't working real good tonight, so pray for me. But I know the Lord's got something working, and I'm going to let him do it. And in the 9th verse, it says, and when those beasts, those are the four living ones, the four beasts, that bridal company, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. See, there's a difference there. And words mean something. These ones give that glory and honor to him. They don't just say it. And if you want to know a little bit more insight on that, think of that. Just as a wife would be the only one that could give glory and honor to her husband. Thank you, Lord. It's all there. He's in the little things. And the reason that she can give him that glory and honor is because she received that from him. That wasn't of herself. It was something he gave to her that she took now, that we need to take right now. So we see that there is a great difference there, and these differences are mighty. And once again, the innumerable multitude, they say salvation to our God. Whereas, thanks be to God, again, the four living ones give him honor and glory. Again, the things that we see all by the grace of God. Now going on in verse 2 of chapter 19. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints, of his servants at her hand. Now, I love this because they praise him for his righteous judgment. It's not just judgment, it's righteous. I thank God. It's pure. It's what is the truth. And destroying the great whore for corrupting and fornicating. And you think she fornicated with every false doctrine upon the earth. I know that there is great signs and of the larger religious denominations. But brothers and sisters, we got to know this, as it says in the Word of God. Every unclean fowl is part of this thing. This thing is going to be so demonic and so ramped up in a demon-possessed way. Again, the world has never seen it. But God saw it a long time ago. And he's going to take care of it. But we need to understand these things of what's going on. But it wasn't just for that. It was especially because the blood of the saints are upon her. And praise be to God, she is demolished for this. And once again, I'd like to remind you, whatever of those different ages, whether it was the Crusades, whether it was the different Islamic kingdoms that came and went, and then you think about those that were persecuted in the Colosseum, the Christians, the ones that were, even multiple ones were nailed to crosses and things of that nature. The Christian has, the ones that, again, believe in the blood of the Lamb, have always been persecuted, and they always will be, and especially at this time, until God stops it. Praise the Lord. So we've seen this, and we see it coming to pass. Now in verse 3, it says, and again said they, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. You think about, again, there's no more remembrance of her, but the righteous judgment will always be remembered. The righteousness of God will always be remembered. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah isn't remembered in a sense of what it was in that, but the judgment of the Lord is. And that's just a little appetizer compared to what this judgment is. All of that evil will be judged at this time. And thank the Lord that this will be, again, something that we will praise God throughout eternity, because this is the Lord our God, again, the great I Am that has taken this on, and we love it. Praise his name. Now in verse 4, and the 24 elders. So now we see another company. First we saw this large multitude. So we see these different companies in heaven all the time, don't we? See, there's different places in heaven. There's different groups doing different things in heaven. They're there at different times. They're doing different things. And we see that the magnificence of the things that are done and said and the ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus are exclusive to the bridal company. The bridal company that was seen in the four beasts, the four living ones. The bridal company that's seen in those seven angels. Those are the ones that are announcing in a trumpeter's voice, just like his, that are bringing forth all of this judgment along with him. Whereas the innumerable multitude and the 144,000, they're up there and there's a joy, but they're singing. If you notice, they're singing all the time, which is a beautiful thing, and we need to be singing and making melody in our heart, amen? But there's something even beyond that, and praise be to God, it's the worship. And as we've been rejoicing for many years and knowing more and more in depth, not just in the definition of it, but the definition of it in our heart, that word worship is to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss him. Praise God. See, I can sing till I can sing and sing and sing, and I want to be singing. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. And praise God, there's a time when singing stops, when the priest's got to get out of the temple, the smoke's going on, and the only thing that's in there is the presence of God and the cherubim, praise his name. And it's a quiet time, hallelujah. So we thank God, and I pray that we understand that, brothers and sisters, we enter into that now. This is a readied wife, as we'll continue to read about. The wife hath made herself ready. She enters into this intimacy with him right now. This is just the, again, the after effect of all of those things and what God will do and perform, which he has promised as we lay hold of this precious truth. So in verse 4 it says, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Now let's remember again, the 24 elders are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. The four beasts, again we see and we've been rejoicing, that is the company of the bride, those full overcomers of the New Testament. And as this sweet group together, they fall down and worship God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Now, once again, this is very telling, because this is the true worshipers of the New Testament. Amen. The Lord is seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, in type, because we know that the true worshiper is being sought after in this New Testament time. That is exactly what the reason was in the giving of the Holy Ghost, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. See, without the infilling of the Holy Ghost and yielding to the Spirit, brothers and sisters, love would not be shed abroad in our hearts. If I don't have love like a geyser coming out of my heart, how could I ever draw nigh in fervent love to kiss the Lord? And if you talk, again, to most of your brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a love of the Lord. But when you start getting to speak of in love with the Lord, most you'll lose. They don't get it. It would be like trying to talk to a 3 or a 4 or 5-year-old child about marriage. It wouldn't happen. They'd go back over and play with a toy real quick or start screaming. Or, I don't want to hear this. You see what I'm saying? Well, it's similar in that way. And not to disparage, but the Word of God tells you these things. He says, put away childish things. Amen? See, those are the things that will distract you. By the grace of God, we need to be feasting upon the strong meat. And continuing to feast upon the strong meat. Because if you don't continue to feast upon the strong meat, I don't care if you ate it before, you're going to grow weak in those things. Those teeth aren't going to be the teeth that will be devouring those things. Those two rows that God, again, is right there to grace us with to feast upon all the whole counsel of God. But I think about these four living ones, these worshipers. And as I mentioned, the innumerable multitude and the 144,000, what you'll find them doing all the time is singing. And what you'll find them singing and saying is salvation to our God. Whereas, again, the four living ones and the four beasts, which is the same company there, you see them, again, in that wonderful sense of worship. And they fall down before him on the throne. See, this immense glory that is all due him, the mighty, wondrous, all power and loving Lamb of God. Now, I want to bring out something here that is very precious. The word fell down, it means to descend. They fell down, they descended. And you know, those that are going to fall down there and worship and descend are the ones right now that are descending. The ones that realize the glory of he must increase and I must decrease. Amen. See, he gives grace to the humble. To, again, that lowliness. When we begin to get puffed up in our knowledge of Paul's gospel, we're not gaining in love. He sees the proud afar off. I don't care what you know. You could know all mysteries, but if you don't have the love of God, it profits you nothing. And we need to really embrace and understand these things. And because I want to be profitable to him. I want to be, I'll tell you what, his full reward, praise God. His inheritance is in me, and I want to be a double portion inheritance to the Father and to the Son. Praise God, with what he's done and what he's given. Oh, Lord, help me to just take all of it. Apprehend you fully. And then, which is so precious here, you hear this voice out of the throne telling, praise our God. And that's verse 5. Listen to this. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now this is an amazing, wondrous transformation that's just now being solidified in heaven. And this is truly the time, the announcement that's coming, that God is giving all authority. It's coming. It's at that moment he's giving all authority to his Son. His Son is getting ready to take the throne as God. Hallelujah. We're just coming almost. We're almost there, right to the end of this tribulation, entering into the 1,000-year millennium, of which our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will take the throne as God. But notice here in verse 5, this is very tremendous. In the word of the Lord in such beauty and splendor. And I had to think back about there at the Mount Transfiguration. Remember when they were going to build a tabernacle to the two prophets and to Jesus? You know, they saw the vision of all of them. We're going to go ahead and just build one to each one. It's so good. That was Peter's idea again. And God shut that down real quick. And out of that cloud, it said, a voice, a voice. And what did that voice say? It said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. And I love this voice. Think about this voice. Came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. I want you to turn with me for just a minute, because I believe I'm seeing some things here. But I want the Lord to work that in our lives as we go on. Go on over to Psalm 110:1. Psalm 110:1, a psalm of David. Amazing how David wrote these things for us. For us. I'm sure there were things that were given to him, but why he wrote this, I'll tell you, it had to be for me, praise the Lord. But he says right here in 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. My Lord, did you get that? The Lord said unto my Lord. Let's go on over to Matthew. We hear it again, praise the Lord, in chapter 22, verse 44. A lot of prophecy here. 22:44, it says it the same way again. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Praise God. See, this is the beginning of that time. This is the beginning of the Father giving all authority to his precious Son for that 1,000-year millennial reign. And here it is. Can you imagine the excitement of the Father? Do you know how exciting it is, you parents, when something tremendous has happened with your children? And you just, they're so thankful. And you know the thing that's really tremendous with our children is when they go after truth. When you see them on their knees praying. When they're praising the Lord. Yeah, there's a joy that surpasses every joy. And we know these things and praise God. But once again, see the joy and rejoicing of the multitude that immediately begins after that. And I thought about that. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's that end of that sixth verse there of 19th chapter. They say, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Brought me back to thinking of John 20. Do you remember when Thomas, when the Lord appeared back to him? He said, go ahead, Thomas, put your fingers in my hands. And go ahead and thrust your hand into my side. And he said, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. Here he is. The announcement has been made. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. I'm excited. Going to be there soon. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Oh, there's a host that's with him. We all got white steeds. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be with him. By the grace of God, ruling and reigning jointly together with him. This word is so beautiful. I was in Habakkuk today and Nahum and all those different ones. And you read this. You read this word for word. You talk about the detail of the judgment. And those minor prophets. And I love the major ones too. But the minor ones, two, three chapters just packed. I encourage you. Go back and read this, especially as we've been studying here in Revelation. It'll just pop out. And you'll say, oh my goodness. They were writing about all these things. Those were all the things that, praise God, that the Father, hallelujah, in magnifying his Son. And then the Father's joy of that unfaithful wife, Israel, as she'll return to him. And he does that. And that's all part of that plan because of his promise to Israel, because of his love for Israel, because Israel is the Father's wife. And she will be faithful to him. And you talk about love and adoration and that the Father will have his enjoyment just as the Son will have his. What an awesome romantic Godhead we have, is it not? I just thank the Lord. It makes me delight. I'm getting a little bit crazy, and that's a good thing for me. And those that want to go along, praise God, it'll be a good thing. Hallelujah. We just get lost in him. Hallelujah. Now, then the innumerable multitude then goes on in 7 and 8. Let's go ahead and get over there. Let us be glad and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So we see here again, the innumerable multitude is announcing this. And it's what they can do, and it's all that they can do. They can only announce this. They can only announce of this event that's coming and tell of it, because the innumerable multitude is not part of the company of the Lamb's wife, that wife who hath made herself ready. The innumerable multitude has its place. Now, let's notice some wonderful details here about this most precious verse. And the most precious verse to those who right now are holding fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the bridal message. Amen. We just hold that fast. God's given that. Isn't that wonderful? And we just treasure that precious encouragement of love in Paul's gospel that's been given to us. Well, first off here, that word marriage. I really want to make emphasis on this. That means the marriage supper. As we've rejoiced and God has caused us to rejoice sometime now, the marriage had already taken place back in that wonderful type of the ancient Jewish wedding when the announcement went out for that man to have a wife, the one who would come forward and say, I will have him. At that moment, that contract was signed. And that marriage was done. It was done. The proposal. The I will go. I do not want anybody to be confused. That doesn't mean that the moment that you accept and believe in Paul's gospel, that you've apprehended, that you've finished your course. Absolutely not. Now it's truly the great fight of faith is on. And praise the Lord, the fight is that cherishing as we go on. And to grow in that cherishing. Isn't that wonderful? And I've had people say to me, well, you know, you have to really grow into the bride of Christ in these different things. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. The learning curve of the Lord, don't ever disparage that. Again, as we were encouraged and just it reminded me and quickened my heart again, thinking about those Thessalonian saints. Paul was there 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Now, I'm not saying that they all became bridal saints in 3 weeks, but I'll tell you what, they received a lot more than the Corinthians did in all those years that Paul was with them. Because they believed. It was a simple faith. It was like listening to Herbie and his testimony of the word of God. You know, he heard about salvation. Well, Jesus did that. I want that. Okay, I'm saved. And then as he read more of the word of God, once testified to him about the Holy Ghost, you mean that's more he wants to give me? Again, just by believing and tarry and worship, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after being filled with the Holy Ghost, he'd heard this bridal truth thing, and he said, my goodness, that's just as simple as salvation and receiving the Holy Spirit. It's all by the grace of God. And he just took it. And he's living that by the grace of God. And I believe, as the word of the Lord tells us right here, he's cherishing that crown. He's in love with that. He didn't just put that off. Remember when we were studying about thou hast left thy first love, that church of Ephesus? That left the first love, that means divorce. Divorce. So if you want to walk away from that marriage, you could divorce that. And in divorcing that, that would be leaving your first love. Very clear, I believe, very laid out in the word of God, that the Lord so freely has bestowed that. He don't want to, again, you to lose that crown. He doesn't take it away. He tells you to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen. See, that's how gracious he is. He's not the one that takes it. We're the one that would lay it down. That it wouldn't be a cherished thing to us anymore, any longer. I thank God that, again, he's so gracious in that. And that even makes me want to lay hold of it more, is because of his wondrous mercy and grace. We just give him that praise for. But again, going back to this, this marriage supper, this is a marriage supper. That marriage has already taken place. The moment, again, of the response from the Holy Ghost proposal to the Lamb, from the Lamb, as we say, I will go, that contract is signed. But holding it fast, the proposal of the bridegroom's love is first love. And then we just grow up into it. That's the requirement for the finisher with the full joy. See, the one who obtains the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the one that apprehends him as she is apprehended, I believe this is so clear. That is why she is a readied wife. She's not a readied bride. Amen? Why does he say this? The wife hath made herself ready. It's not that the bride has made herself ready. It's the wife. That's why the wife is now going into what? You're married when you go into the supper, the festivity. Amen? The bride doesn't go in there anymore. You know, again, even in our structure of a wedding, they come up here, they say, I do. Then we have the reception in the basement. There's your celebration. They have a meal or anything of that nature. It's not, I want to introduce you to the bride. I want to introduce you to the wife. Amen. This is my wife. I present to you, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Amen. It would be right there. So again, this follows so perfect and so sweetly along with the word of God. And again, this is why she is that readied wife. She took the place here on earth as that wife. She's fighting the good fight of faith. And praise be to God. By his grace, she finishes it. She suffers with her husband right now in the joy and hope of his return. Praise the Lord. Not an if, but a when. You think about that. When we are engaged, even in our relationships, there isn't a lot of suffering going on in engagement. You might think there is, but wait till you get married. But you understand what I'm saying, okay? Why would there be such suffering? Amen? Because this is the time that we settle down. Why did the Lord say for us who believe in this thing that we would dwell together? That means to settle down in marriage. Amen? Yeah, and it's not easy. We're tightly fit, compacted. We get all these things. But even more so, we're in that great strait, that pressed out of measure time. He's proving his love in us. He's proving that wonderful wife. She loves me. Isn't it wonderful, Father? She loves me. Hallelujah. You don't think Jesus gets excited about that? Then you don't see it. I'm thankful to God that he loves us like that. You know, this is the lover in the Song of Solomon that's looking through the lattice at her and just can't get his eyes off of her because he loves her so much. And I pray that God encourages our heart. What a love story that we have here in the Lord. Now notice this as well. It's the marriage of the Lamb. She is the Lamb's wife. I have always loved that so sweetly. Our beautiful Jesus, he had to be made one of us. He had to be made a man to die. He had to be made a man to marry his wife. Praise God. That's why it's the Lamb. It's not God's wife. It's the Lamb's wife. Praise his name. And this is, again, such beautiful truth to us of this love story beyond of the manifold grace of God. Now, how does she make herself ready? Grace. Pure grace. Because this is so beyond anything we could ask or think. This is so beyond anything we could ever strive to comprehend that this would be the ultimate, the pinnacle of the Godhead. That this would be the whole focus of heaven itself. Is wait a second, John, and we'll get there in a couple chapters if the Lord tarry. But I'm hoping we get there tonight if the Lord come. But as that angel says to John, I got to take you to a high mount. I thought John was already high. Didn't you think he was high where he was having this vision? Amen. He said, I got to take you to a high mount to see this one, John. Now you got to look up, John, to see this. Here she comes. The glory of the Lamb. Here she comes, John. My glory. Grace. Grace. Just grace for you to believe that. Grace to believe that, praise God, you love me like that. And I still said it time and time again. Why would that be hard for us to believe? Even to believe from the very beginning that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. If we're going to begin like that, God, I believe you can do anything. If you love me like that, Father, I believe there's even more to the story. You've given me him in that regard, Father. I don't think there's anything hard for you, again, to make a double portion in my life. Amen? Amen. As he says to her, my sister, my spouse. Praise the Lord. Lord, got to contain this. You start exploding up here. So, we love the Lord and thank him for this. But it is pure grace is how she makes herself ready. All divine, all powerful, all enabling grace that we would only be found in his righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't he so beautiful that that's all you want to be found in? Isn't that wonderful that you see that the beauty of the, yes, we call it simplicity, but just the purity, that sincere, that is clear to the light. We're going to get there in just a moment, but that's what the lampros white is. That lampros is so brilliant, it's transparent. Amen. It's just him. And by the grace of God, that's what I pray. And I pray for all of us daily, Lord, that it would only be him. That our fellowship in the purity would only be in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. That we assemble ourselves together the much the more in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for that. And we give him all the glory. But that there would be nothing remaining, praise God, in us, But our lives would be in abiding in the first love. And that evidence will be joy and thanksgiving and love that is ever increasing in the saints. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, that I live amongst those. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? And you can see him doing that. And I thank the Lord for it, because you talk about a miracle. I know what he's dealing with me. And I think I know what he's dealing with you. And he does this. This is what's so marvelous, that it is his mercy and grace. But going on here, notice it says, to her, in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So notice this. It wasn't to anybody else this was granted. It was only to her. She's the goodly pearl. She's the one. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Amen. She was the one that the king loved. I mean, ravishly loved. That favor, that was the one that was highly favored because of that grace. She is his glory. And in that, she is granted. And I love that word granted. Listen to this. That word granted means given for his advantage. So she's granted that, but it's for him. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Because she is for him. She completes him. Remember how Brother Paul said that? That the message that was given to me there in Colossians fulfills or completes the word of God. And what was Paul given? Paul was given the bridal message. So what is it? The bridal message, the bride, completes or fulfills the word of God, also known as Jesus. It's just so beautifully wonderful how the Holy Ghost puts that together for us. Is that's what the gospel of Paul was given, to complete Jesus. Isn't that in a way our lives, that we, you know, write cards to one another and thank God that you see these things come to pass, naturally speaking, and can even be spiritually speaking as we encourage our spouses in the Lord. I'm so thankful that there is a completing in my life as God has ordained that for a man and a woman to love one another. I thank the Lord that we enter into that, and there's a completing in that. How much more so in him? He's given us type and shadow and everything. We just got to wake up, amen? But see, it also means to supply her. Granted means that she's been supplied for this. She's been furnished for this. It also means to give to someone she already belonged. See, she already belongs to him. She belongs to him right now. This is like some of the most romantic language you could ever hear. I mean, really, you just sit there. These are the cards you'd open and go, wow. You know, how he loves me, digs me, whatever it is, just is amazing. But then that she should be arrayed or clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Now, once again, this is that description of illuminating. This isn't a reflected glory. Remember, as the word of God tells us, there's a glory of the moon. The moon is a reflected glory. It's incredible, but it's reflection. This is an illuminating. This is the one star differeth from another sun glory we're speaking of here. And so wonderful that this illuminating glorious white is only described in the glory that is worn by Jesus. That's the lampros white, and describes the same clothing here that is worn by his wife. They have the same, very exact same glory because she is like him. Amen. I mean, we're talking grace beyond what I could talk grace. This is Holy Ghost, got to put it in my heart, and I praise him in another language, grace. Because this is what it is. When he said that you would rule and reign jointly together with me, as we've so sweetly been in many studies with that, that means to the same level, everything. What's mine is yours. Just like that story in Esther. It wasn't half. You read that in the Hebrew. What's mine is yours. It's ours. We share it together. Amen. I'm just telling you, couples that even come in sometimes and they're little this, well, that's mine. This, it's ours. You got to go in. It's ours. We're one. Amen. And this is that oneness and that beauty that they share. This clean and white, it means transparent. As we'd always hear sweet Brother Hill say, sincere, clear to the light. All Christ in me, the hope of glory. Any other glory there? Nope. There isn't. Hope you don't think there is, because that's some of your dirty self-righteousness. All Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. But also cleansed, listen to this. There's so many manifold meanings of this. Cleansed means pruning. Isn't that wonderful? You know how the Lord prunes us? Why? For more fruit. Amen. More fruit, more fruit. It also means purified by fire. So praise be to God. She now, right now, gladly suffers together with him for this glory to be shared with him. I'm so thankful that he's causing my heart to believe and to really embrace. It's not that I want the glory, but I want to be glorified with you, because it gives all glory to you. Praise God. And it's just, again, you just got to eat the peach. So, this white lampros is nothing reflected, nothing like a moon glory. It's from within. She has the very glory of him. Now, I want you to think about a couple other things too before we go on. She is clothed with, it says here, the righteousness of saints. She is clothed, as we have jumped ahead, remember in chapter 21, where we see her descending from heaven, this new Jerusalem, and she's the focal point. But right after that focal point of her, it speaks of her with her light and that jasper quality, just as him. She's like him. After that, it starts to talk about the foundation that she sits upon. We see about the 144,000. We see the different stones that make up her, basically her foundation, her dress. We see the stones in the innumerable multitude. We see the 12 gates even within, and all of those different things. We see how beautiful, again, she is arrayed. She's arrayed with the righteousness of saints. Think about our Lord. His body isn't just the righteousness of saints. His body are the saints, you see, which is the righteousness of saints as well. But it's the same. It's so amazing because she's like him. It's in this same quality. It's in this same purity. It's in this same majesty. And how he shares this with her is just such glorious grace. And you do. It's breathtaking. It's just like Eve. You think of this. Eve was of Adam. You know, the Lord didn't say, okay, I took up dirt and I breathed into it and molded it and made Adam, and I'm going to do the same for Eve. No, he didn't do that. He had that sleep to fall upon Adam, just like that sleep that's going on in the church right now. And out of that, out of him, out of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he took that rib, that part closest to the heart, that little teeny portion, and then he made woman of him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And this is what's so beautiful. She is the glorious church, the glory of the church without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. I mean, we could go on and on here, but you got to function. But I love that where it says, you know, without spot or wrinkle. It's so wonderful. Without spot means without disgrace. Without disgrace. She's without disgrace. And I was thinking how the Lord deals with my little simple head. I'm so thankful I don't disgrace. I take grace. I embrace grace. I treasure grace. I glory in his grace. I thank him moment by moment by moment by moment for his great grace. Thank you, Lord. I'm no disgrace. And not one wrinkle, not one fold. As it spoke of those cherubim, as they had straight feet, they followed him wherever he went. It's a narrow way. It's a mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As the word of the Lord says, preach no other gospel. There isn't any other. There's no other doctrine. This is it. It's the strong meat of the word. As Paul said, if by any means I might attain to that first trump rapture. Let's go ahead and close up 9 and 10 tonight. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So again, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper. Amen. We saw that again in that final company of the church that was gathered, the 144,000. They were the five wise virgins. Remember that? There were the five foolish and the five wise virgins. Those wise virgins got in for the supper. The five foolish didn't get in for the marriage supper of the Lamb. They don't, form part of that bridal company. So we see that there's a sweet thing to be part and a partaker of the supper, but you're not the same in a sense in that same rejoicing as that wife will be. Just like the guests at a wedding, they don't have the same joy as the couple, the husband and the wife. And we see that so clearly. Again, God is separating these things out for us, that we see this. You know, when people, I mean, you just every verse in this stuff where you say, well, everybody's going to be in the bride and we're all going to be taken at the same time. We're all going to be doing the same thing in heaven. All right, you just don't read. You don't study. You don't want to know. You're just throwing it off because that's just what everybody else is doing. You know, we're just going to walk around like a dumb sheep instead of like a fat sheep or a stall-fed calf. Listen to that shepherd. Hallelujah. And it's awesome what we have here in him. But see, this church is so marvelous, so grace to be called to the marriage supper. Once again, it's the marriage ceremony. It's not the ceremony, it's the supper. But that feast here will be the sweetest of gatherings in a sense of eternity to come, because the rejoicing, the honor, the glory that will be him, or be his. The Lamb's crown for all that he has finished in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, his wife. As the word of God so sweetly says, the woman is the glory of man. He was speaking of her all the time. She was always in his thoughts, always in his heart. Again, as the Father and the Son rejoiced there in the garden, it's not good for man to live alone. Praise the Lord. I mean, there was that excitement. And I'm sure Jesus say back to the Father, you're going to have your faithful wife too. And we're going to be two mighty couples. Praise God. I pray you get out there with the Lord. You need to get out. You need to get out from among the camp. You'll feel a lot better. All right, let's close up in verse 10. And I fell, this is John. And John says, and all he can do is at this time after he sees all this stuff. And here, I fell at his feet to worship him. And again, this is the angel, one of the seven angels from the 17th chapter that's been talking to John for these last two chapters, showing him around. And remember, John has already done this before and was corrected in the same way. Listen to what happens. And I, John, fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we need to really take that, especially right now, brothers and sisters. How much trouble God's people get into when we begin to worship vessels of the Lord. Amen. We need to highly esteem one another. Praise God. But the worship is only to him. We are vessels to the praise and the glory of what? His grace. His great grace. I rejoice in the Lord because of the grace of God that is with you. I thank the Lord for the grace of God that's with you, that you're not making his grace void or vain in your life. You're taking it. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that working. I thank God for Christ in you, the hope of glory. But here we get old John again. We've reviewed this many times, but we need to get it. This again, one of the seven angels that's having this conversation with John since chapter 17. We see so plainly this is not an angel as a religious mind would want to interpret. This is a redeemed person. He tells John this, John, I'm a fellow servant. I'm one of your brothers. I have the testimony of Jesus, John. Get up. Don't be worshiping me. But how exciting. Again, John, the disciple that Jesus loved, that disciple of all the disciples that was coming to see him. He had the boldness of many of the sisters at the cross and these different things. But John was that one that laid his head upon his breast. And John would never, ever of himself ever want to worship anything but Jesus. But the Lord showing so sweetly the magnificence and the glory of his bride, that even the one that knew his appearance, probably like none other, I'm sure John checked out the Lord like nobody else did, looking in his eyes and looking at his face. But here's the one, and isn't it interesting? It was John that the Lord had to write Revelation. Isn't that something? The one who would know Jesus more than anyone in a way. And yet here is John doing it again. I can't help it. Because she's so like Jesus. Now do you see why the Philadelphia church, when the Lord says, I'm going to make known to them that I have loved thee, I'm going to have them come and worship before thy feet. Don't fall short and believe in him. Believe this word. This is your place. This is your place. This is your calling. You have been chosen for this. He said, I've sent my word specifically to perform that thing in which I have sent it. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that's all it is just apprehending the joy of this promise. And yes, it's such an amazing, mighty, incredible promise. But is anything hard for our God? Is anything hard for him? See, it ain't you that's doing it. So quit thinking it's so hard because you ain't doing it. The thing you got to get out of is yourself and that work and believing in this amazing grace of the beauty of the Lamb of God who finished this on the cross. It's yours. All I want you to do, honey, is to treasure it. I didn't make you perfect in yourself. You're a mess up. Specifically made for me and my grace. And you're going to go through and you're going to have downsettings and uprisings and all of these different things. But it's grace, honey. It's just grace. Just ride along in the grace. Hold, embrace that grace, that mercy. This isn't you. You're my workmanship. You're mine. It's my will and doing of my good pleasure in you. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited that he's given you this? And it's clear. There isn't anything to dispute. It's just what it is. Take that promise. Take it. By the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. And again, just beyond words to express the gratitude again of your marvelous, wonderful love, this all grace that you have given, that it's the all sufficiency for all things, Lord, it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Lord, it's just so tremendous. And Lord, here we are to hear this. And not just to hear this, but to listen. And Lord, to have our hearts to it work effectually. Because by your grace, I believe. I just sit here tonight, and I pray we all sit here tonight and just say, Lord, I believe. I just believe you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is true. It's impossible for you to lie. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that, you know, connects these dots. Thank you, God. It's line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. Yes, thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. And yea, thank you that he takes us into the deep things of God. And that depth is one thing, that God is love. And as you said, God, to know your love, to know the love of Christ in all of its wonder. And thank you for the wonder of this goodly pearl that you've chosen us for. Help us just to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take my crown. In Jesus' name, amen.